The Midweek Horror Podcast is supported by Horrified, the website that celebrates and champions British horror, covering films, television, books, fiction, and more. You can visit Horrified at horrifiedmagazine.co.uk and find them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at horrifiedmag.
This is the Midweek Horror Podcast with Hannah Fox and Alice Reed.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Horror Podcast. I'm Hannah Fox.
And I'm Alice Reed. And we've not done a podcast for ages.
We were just talking about how shocking we've been, weren't we?
Now, actually, we did do a podcast. We watched and thoroughly enjoyed Censor. We recorded a podcast. I just hadn't edited it.
Can't get the staff these days.
No, I know. We've been too busy. So that will have to sit in the...
sit in your to-do pile.
Sit in the pod bank along with the people under the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, hocus pocus.
All these treats to come.
Oh, yeah.
When Alice is bored. But yeah, I think... both of us have been looking forward to tonight.
We're massively psyched.
Especially as, I think, originally we were going to go to the cinema and see it, and then that just didn't work out.
When we say it didn't work out, we just forgot. We? This is why...
They're professionals.
Yeah, this is... This is why the podcast is so sporadic, we just keep forgetting that we're podcasters now. And so we keep forgetting to do podcasts. Or sometimes we do a podcast and I forget to publish it.
We forget to publish it. But, you know, either way, we still love you. We still care. Am I convincing?
All right, do you want to tell the fans at home what we're watching tonight?
Yes, well, tonight we are doing Don't Say It Three Times, The Candyman.
Yeah. Which I'm really excited about because it's such a classic.
Yeah.
The remake's got good buzz. I haven't even seen the trailer yet.
I've seen the trailer a while ago, and actually, I didn't want to rewatch it because I thought I watched it when I think actually Ellis and I went to the cinema to watch something else. Ages ago.
The
Conjuring. And I can't remember if it was advertised at the cinema or we just got talking about it. And then I watched the trailer around then and thought it looked absolutely brilliant. And I loved the original when I was younger as well.
Yeah, classic.
Absolute classic. Yeah. Scary classic as well. Like, I remember being a kid and genuinely being like, oh, like, you wouldn't look in the mirror and say it three times, would you? Like, what a fool. like you'd be with your friends and you'd almost, like, dare each other to do it, but then be like, no, absolutely, like, I'm not stupid. Come on. So, yeah, really good film. I love... And his name has literally just slipped out of my head.
Tony Todd?
Yes. Yeah, brilliant. I mean, scary as hell. Very cool and scary guy.
Now, and I believe, did you tell me he's in the remake as well?
I believe so. That was what when I read a little bit about it ages ago when we spoke about it, it said that he was. Yeah.
So do we know if he's got, like, is he just there in a cameo or is he actually playing
Candyman? I think he's the Candyman.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be a bit disappointing if he wasn't, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because to me, he is, you know, he's a big part of that film.
Yeah, yeah. Something I'm really psyched about is I remember really enjoying the original, but I don't remember much about the story at all. So I'm not going to be coming into this with an existing story in mind. I'm just coming into this with a lot of goodwill and excitement. And the image of the Candyman character in my head.
Same. I do remember there being themes around poverty and possibly racism as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen it in many moons, I must say, so.
It's really, really exciting to be seeing it. Do we know anything else about who's in it?
I'm not aware that there's anyone else that known. I don't know if it's a kind of, apart from, obviously, Tony Todd. I don't know if there's anyone that's sort of else well known in it.
Jordan Peele's done this, hasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
We'll have to find that out for the podcast. That's key information.
That ringed a, that ringed a bell, that rung a bell. And then I thought, am I just bullshitting?
To the phone.
To the cloud. Well,
I'm sure it's
I've taken
Jordan
about
Peele.
10 days to order a pizza, so let's see how quickly I can do this.
Oh, God, I am looking forward to that pizza, though.
Oh, me
We've
too.
Got Papa John's on the way.
Or
listeners at home.
Father Jonathan's.
Father Jonathan, yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like a sort of like a gentle comedy drama about a priest.
Yeah.
Like, who investigates crimes.
What was that one? The Father Dowling Mysteries.
Father Dowling? Have
yeah.
I heard of that one?
Oh, it's about this priest. He's got like a bezzy mate who's a nun, and they go around like solving crime.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a really old show.
So the only priest I know who solves crimes is Father Brown.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of priests are solving crime.
So
the director...
Oh, I think... Is there something called the Father Paolo Mysteries?
I really hope so.
Have I just made that up, Father Paolo?
Okay, so yeah, it was written by Jordan Peele, so yeah, of course, we know.
Yeah, brilliant. So we really enjoyed one of the first episodes we did on the Midweek Horror Podcast was Get Out.
Yes.
And I still haven't seen Us.
No, I haven't.
Something to do with doppelgangers.
Yeah, I thought I had for a minute, but no, I would like to see it, but I haven't seen it yet. So yeah, really, really looking forward to this one. And I'll be interested to see how it compares to the others, especially as I was a lot younger when I watched them.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder whether it'll sort of be as good. But we shall see.
I hope it's scary.
Yeah, me too.
I've got a little bit. So the reason, I can't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast before. One of the reasons I got into horror and really enjoyed horror is because I used to be really scared by horror films. Like in real life, I think I'm at least averagely brave. But horror films, I used to be like, I can't watch. Like, if I thought, you know, if I thought it was building to a scare, I'd be watching
through your fingers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I sort of discovered how many films there were on stuff like Amazon Prime, I really started watching a lot of horror. We've done this podcast. I write reviews for a horror website. And I still enjoy horror, but I'm finding it harder to get scared.
Yes.
Because I think just through exposure to horror films, I've come to realise that they can't actually hurt me and they're not actually real. You know, something which I knew all along in my head.
Yeah.
But finally it's sunk in.
Yeah, sunk in. Yeah.
So I'm hoping, I'd love. Another film I've got on my watch list is The Night House, which is meant to be shit your pants scary.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So actually, we'll do that next if
yeah,
you want.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Yeah, I know what you mean. I like the eerie, weird, scary ones. That scares me. Like someone having their arm like chopped off and horrible guts hanging out and stuff. That doesn't scare me. Like I'm just like gross. But you know, some of those more eerie ones. Like I mean, The Ring comes to mind
as
being
God.
One that freaked the crap out of me when I was younger.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I mean, I say younger. I was at least 18, but I remember watching it at my house and my parents had gone out. I was just crapping myself. It really freaked me out. But it's not, there's nothing gory or...
Was this the American remake or
no,
the original?
No, this was the original, the Japanese one.
And to tell you the truth, so The Ring, I think whichever one you see first, whichever version you see first will be the one that scares you most. Because the American ones are really good film,
they
to be
are.
Honest. But it's never going to be the same as the first time you see it. And when you see the ending and you realise what's happening... You just shit your pants. It's terrifying, isn't it? And obviously, the subsequent time you see it, whether you're re-watching the one you've already seen or watching the remake, the ending's never going to have the same impact. Somehow I thought the American remake did very well. You know, the faces of the people who've died of fright, because Samara in the remake, Sadako in the Japanese original, has got them. They did something really weird to their faces in the American remake where they almost look like the bodies of drowned people who've just been in the water for ages.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in the Japanese original, they just look terrified.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was a really good addition.
Yeah, I forgot about that, actually. That was quite freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're talking about The Ring now, but yeah, I remember seeing that. So I saw
change
that.
Of plan.
Yeah, let's watch The Ring. So I saw the Japanese original at the cinema with two other lads when I was about 20.
Mm.
And it just fucked us up. all three of us, we were just like a collective mess. Afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, so I was sort of like in the mood where I didn't want to walk across campus at night. Like, I'd be hurrying through the dark. One of the guys I saw it with confided a few nights later that he'd been sleeping with the lights on. Sleeping with the lights on. And the other one, him and his flatmate, just before we went to see The Ring, had rented for their student digs a big TV. Which he just didn't want to go near. Like, he was like, I've spent money to rent this telly and I just don't want to watch it.
Don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, yeah. So I would love to get that back.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I do get it less these days. I occasionally still get it, though, when I have to, like, turn the telly on in my house to have background noise and put the lights on and, you know, just less.
Yeah.
It's the sign of a good... You know, writer and director, isn't it, really, when you get like that?
Actually, the last time a horror film really shook me up, and not in a traditional horror way, but almost like just feeling a bit upset by it, was the ending of a film called The Stylist.
Okay.
Like, you might go away and watch it now. Mm. Well, do, by the way. It's a great film. But there was just something about the very, very ending that must have just really pushed a button.
Yeah.
Like, and I watched it, I was like, this is brilliant, brilliant film. And then I went to bed, I was just lying in there, just thinking about the end, thinking, oh God, that ending was horrible. Yeah.
Sometimes they sort of just stick with you and kind of go around your head. One that stuck with me in that way was Wolf Creek.
Sure, I've not seen that.
I mean, it's not... It is a bit, actually, as I was saying, I'm not so much fussed on the kind of like gory ones. This was... But it was just that it was a bit sadistic, and that kind of stayed with me. There was one bit in it where they were basically paralysed, and that stayed with me a while, just because I just kept coming into my head.
So what's Wolf Creek about?
So Wolf Creek...
tell me, just give me a synopsis, and yeah. I'll give you a synopsis of The Stylist.
Okay. Yeah, deal.
Because at the minute we're just naming films.
We are. Just showing how much we know. So Wolf Creek is basically about a group of young travellers who are going around the outback in Australia, and they basically end up somehow in the home of this weird, like, messed up guy who basically then goes after them and kills them and does torturous, weird things to them. It was very...
Is it a bit like a Chainsaw Massacre style film?
Yeah. It was loosely based on a serial killer over there called Ivan Milat, who is believed to have killed quite a few people, like travellers and stuff. And I think they loosely based some of it on what he did, but obviously a lot more hyped up. But yeah, the bit where he sort of leaves someone basically paralysed, so he sets them free, but they can't get away. And I was like, oh, it's just horrible. But generally those ones don't scare me so much, but because I think it was sadistic. And also there was that element of, you know, when people are in the house and the killer's coming after them and you're like, run, 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 run. There's that kind of like adrenaline bit to it. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's like one of the best films, but like it definitely stuck with me. Anyway, yeah, sorry. And you were saying?
The Stylist is a film about a serial killer.
Yeah.
Who's a hairstylist. Mm. And what she basically does is kills people whose hair she styles. Like her customers, periodically she'll kill one of them and then scalp them and keep their hair. And she has like this secret room where she's made all their scalps into wigs, and she'll like sit in front of the mirror trying them on. It sounds schlocky and gross. It's actually a really quite upsetting film with a really, really great performance at the heart of it. And it's kind of like a bit like a more extreme version of the conflicted feelings you get in St. Maud. Where St. Maud, the heroine's clearly crazy, but you sympathise with her. You want things to be okay with her.
Mm.
And it's even weirder in The Stars, because obviously she's a serial killer, but the performance just makes the main character seem like quite vulnerable and like ill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than like a schlocky sort of, you know, crazy butcher style. It's a really, yeah, it's quite an affecting film. Like, I'm not saying you watch it and you're like, oh, poor serial killer.
Yeah.
It's a bit more nuanced.
But mixed emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, great film. But the ending really upset me.
I'll have to watch it.
It's quite an upsetting film, actually. But really good.
Oh.
Yeah, give it a watch. The Stylist. See if you like it as much as me.
Okay, will do.
Right, and on that note, shall we watch the trailer?
Let's watch the trailer.
For Candyman. And then...
We're both on two at the minute, I think.
We're both on two?
Yeah, and there's a massive mirror over there, so I'm freaking out.
Yeah. For some reason, so we're watching Candyman. For some reason, I've just got a massive mirror just propped against the wall. In fact, there's two mirrors.
I've got a pile of mirrors.
Yeah. Well, one of them's like some sort of mirrored plastic sheeting.
Yeah.
Probably
doesn't count.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of picture the folks at home are getting in my flat, but it's got quite a bit of clutter in here, hasn't it?
Oh, it's fine. It's lovely. You guys would love it.
Okay, let's watch the trailer, and then we'll reconvene after the jingle to tell the folks at home what we thought of the trailer. Hannah's doing a thumbs up.
Yeah, I just realised no one could see that.
All right, to the jingle. Right, we've just watched the trailer.
Well,
so I don't think that's the trailer you saw before.
It's not the trailer I saw. Definitely not. It's way better than the trailer I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because
you tell me the trailer you originally saw, they had like a scary version of Say My Name.
Actually, I did like that.
And I was looking forward to that. I thought that was cool.
I did like that bit, actually.
Who did the song Say My... Was it Destiny's Child?
Destiny's Child, yeah.
Yeah, but like done like a...
Like eerie, you'll have to check.
A little bit Marilyn Manson.
Exactly like that. You'll have to check that out. That was good. And it was a good trailer, but that I really liked. Basically, in that trailer that we've just saw, at the start, there was a guy sort of almost telling the story about the Candyman. And they were like sort of like little paper puppets they were doing it with. Yeah. And I really liked that. I found that was quite eerie.
So it was very eerie. And normally I'd love that. I felt that was like a little bit too obviously on trend for horror at the minute.
Oh, do you think?
Because I feel like since The Babadook.
It felt
a bit like they... But did they have that in the original? I can't even remember.
I don't think they
Babadooked it up a bit. So when he starts on the background of the Candyman, a guy used to give sweets to kids. Then some kids found some razor blades in the sweets. The police came round to arrest Candyman, but I think they killed him, tortured and killed him. And then after that... More razor blades were turning up in sweets in the neighbourhood and they realised it wasn't Candyman at all. So basically he was an innocent man who got killed.
Nice man.
Yeah. Got murdered by racist police and then turned into... It's actually quite light on how he turns into a ghost.
Yeah.
But
now, is he even a ghost or more of a... I mean, I wouldn't even say he was a ghost. It's almost like a demon or something. That's something, you have to call him. Also, I misremembered that. Apparently it's five times.
Or maybe that might just be inflation.
I don't know. That might be right because...
Like when they remake it in 2045, it might be, if you say his name 11 times in the mirror.
No, that might be right though. I think I just, that seemed like a lot.
Three is a magic number. Three is better. Like Candyman. Like... It's why I'm not looking at the mirror. But, like, I'm not sure it's quite Candyman.
Yeah.
Candyman. Candyman.
Keep going.
Candyman. Candyman.
I mean, it gives you more room for error, doesn't it? But, you know,
more room for error. If he's worried about people calling him by accident, 100 times.
We digress. I see him more as like, not quite a demon, but something you summon. He's not really a ghost. He's not like haunting the house as such. I don't know, really. Well, Somewhere in between.
What I'd be interested to find out is why has he got a hook for a hand? And also, what's the bees thing? Because I know that the bees are a motif for Candyman.
One
popped up in the trailer.
The hook, I think, was explained in the other films, but now that completely...
Yeah, I'm sure it was, but I just can't remember.
It's gone from my memory,
yeah. It'll be a nice surprise.
Yeah, it'll be nice to know.
Well, we'll find out.
But we'll find out, you know. We'll find out, because this is the problem. Like I said, I haven't watched this film in years, and you do misremember some of this stuff or, you know, mix it with other things. So it'd be good to, yeah, kind of see it a bit fresh.
Yeah, yeah. The shadow puppets telling the backstory were really cool. I don't know why I didn't enjoy them more. Yeah, I've not even seen The Babadook.
No, I haven't, but I know what you're on about.
Saw that and thought, oh, well, they tried to go a bit Babadook. Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember the original Hereditary trailer that just had those weird repeating sort of discordant orchestral instruments going like, da, da,
oh, yeah, da, yeah, yeah.
Da, 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 da. Just like, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I feel like I've seen so many horror trailers since then that have the same sort of insistent repeating.
Yeah.
Like, and so a lot of trailers I see, I think I've been trying
to do it all
Hereditary. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But maybe, look, we'll watch the film and maybe I'll love the shit of puppets. I don't know. I thought the trailer was very promising.
Yeah, good trailer.
They look really good, really good, really well acted.
Good story.
Yeah, yeah. Do we know how long this film is? Because for me, the sweet spot for a horror film is 80 to 90 90 minutes.
But if
they've got to say Candyman five times, I think that's going to pad out the film. I think it's going to be an hour and 45 minutes.
91 minutes.
Oh, so we've got just 1 minute of extra Candyman.
1 minute of crap.
Oh, it would have been so funny if they did the final edit and it was like, right, guys, this is 72 minutes long. We don't think that's long enough. Can we
stick a bit extra?
Yeah. Well, we've got loads of offcuts of people saying the word Candyman. We'll just make it five times instead of three, and that'll take us up to 91 minutes.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. It's all right. It's only 1 minute over, so we should be fine.
Yeah.
It's just 1 minute of someone saying it. So I can deal with that.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think it's going to be five stars.
I think five stars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're too keen, aren't we?
I hope it's not a disappointment. And I'm hoping the same about this pizza.
Chucking and cutting.
Are they still
checking and cutting?
They're still checking and cutting. That is bullshit.
I know. I was checking that I'd refreshed it and it had been refreshed. But yeah, they're just checking it really well.
So they've been checking and cutting it for 15 minutes now. When this pizza comes, I want it to be a perfect circle.
It better be bloody good. There better be nothing missing from it.
Can you imagine if it's just the sloppiest pizza in the world?
Just anything on it. You know, stick a carrot on it.
Yeah. Oh, well. So what we'll do, we'll have our pizza when it arrives, then we'll watch the film. So all this, like from the listener's point of view, it's going to be just a brief jingle. But we've actually got quite a lot planned.
Yeah.
We're going to have our dinner.
Full evening.
Yeah, we're going to watch a 91-minute film. And then we're going to come back here and tell everyone at home what we thought of it. I can't wait.
We'll see you then.
Yeah, we'll see you on the other side.
It's on its way!
It's on its way?
Yes!
Oh, perfect timing. Ooh, we're back. I think we're going to have a thing or two to say about this cinematic experience. Oh, hang on. I'm probably going to be quite quiet. Let me just recline the chair.
Well, there
get
you
my
go.
Face a bit closer to the to the microphone.
So, where to start? What did you think of it as an overall?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm struggling to rate it because considering how generous I normally am with stars, it feels a bit tight to give it. It feels a bit tight to give it less than four stars, but I think it might be like 3.8 stars out of five.
Okay. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was really enjoying it and going along with it. And then it got to a point and I think they killed it. And I was, you know, so to speak. And I just thought, oh.
Do you know what we were like then? Do you ever watch First Dates?
I've watched it, yeah.
And it's like, would you like to go on another date? I enjoyed the day. Long pause. Yeah, exactly.
You're great company, great chat. Just don't see it going any further.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what we sounded like.
And
then.
I had to do that. Like the awkward. Oh, don't want to upset you, yeah. But no. Nah.
Tony Todd.
It's a no.
Well, it wasn't even Tony Todd, was it? Do you know what, the people at home, the minute we said we enjoyed it, they'd be like, they fucking hate it.
But I didn't at all. This is the thing. I thought, I love the folklore. I mean, I'm big on that anyway, and I loved all that. And I thought they were doing really well with it. And it was really going along for me for at least 4.55.
Oh, really?
For quite a way. And then because of I love like the legend and all the stuff and all the backstory, and it was really well thought out. The problem was, I just think the end absolutely killed it.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to remind our listeners at home, we used to have a spoiler-free section, and then there was another jingle, and then we get into spoilers. We got rid of that, so we're straight in spoilers from the start.
I enjoyed the spoiler section.
But I was going to say, and you know what, Anna, every time we do this podcast, no matter how many podcasts we do in the new system, I'm going to bring it up just to passive-aggressively let you know that I loved the spoiler-free section.
Absolutely, it was a 5 stars from you. Well, so, yeah, I think we are... I mean, we're very much going to head into spoiler territory now for anyone who is planning to still watch it, because it's still a fairly new film, only out this year. So I would say go and watch it, especially if you watch the other two.
It's worth a watch. If you're a horror fan, it's worth a watch.
To see what you think. Yeah. It's a good talking point, I think, if nothing else. Because there are lots of bits that they brought into it from... And I struggle to think between 1 and 2, to be honest.
So I've never seen 2.
Okay. So probably the bits that I was going, was that in 1 or 2? It was probably in 1 then, because you remembered it as well.
And one thing I will say, I had no idea this was a sequel. I thought it was a reboot. Mm. And I got really excited at the beginning when they started talking, because, do you know, I said I could hardly remember the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original, except that I enjoyed it. When they started talking about the baby that got snatched and the woman who everyone thought it was the woman doing it.
Yeah.
And the woman who went crazy. I was like, oh, wait, this rings a bell. Yeah, they're talking about the original film.
Yeah.
And I got quite excited then because, like I said, I didn't know it was a sequel. And that just seemed quite, you know, it's nice in this age of remakes to actually say, no, everyone likes the first film.
Yeah.
We'll keep that as part of the canon. And we'll just pick up the story sometime in the future. I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah, I like that too. And I like that they went back to it and they were looking into the legend. And then they also kind of were talking about the story. So obviously the story of the chap that hands out the sweets to the kids that gets attacked and killed by the police. They also went back to the story of the young artist who falls in love with the rich man's daughter and gets killed. And that was the start of it with the hook, because they tacked him, put the hook hand in his stump. They hacked his hand off, hook in the stump, put him in, smothered him in honey.
Got some bees,
so the bees
to sting
got him.
Him.
And that was like the start of the Candyman.
I had completely forgotten that from the original, and it didn't come back when I was watching it, but I had to piece it together from watching this film. The idea in the mythology of the Candyman, there was an original Candyman in the 1800s who was the first one to have a hook and get stung by bees. And since then, throughout history,
it's been like other kind of incidents have fed it,
I would say,
and fed the beast. Yeah. So although that was the original Candyman, as they said, the guy, the dry cleaning guy, said it's not a man, it's like, you know, it's so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And
yeah,
they almost all come back to that area. But it's usually, I think always, a kind of, seems to be a black guy that is killed by, you know, white people for no good reason.
Yeah, yeah.
In a kind of horrible attack.
So the guy who was handing out the sweets and got blamed for putting razor blades in the sweets became a Candyman,
yeah.
But he wasn't the first Candyman.
Yeah. But I guess that's where the coat came from. The long orangey-yellow coat that he wears.
And the bees.
Well, the bees came from the old...
Oh, sorry, yeah. I thought you were saying the coat came from
the... Oh, no, I think the coat came from Candyman, old man, handing out sweets. Because if you think, you wouldn't have worn that coat back in the 1800s, like a Del Boy coat, isn't it, from the 70s?
Del Boy coat. Oh, and he had a hook as well.
Well, I don't...
Candyman did have a hook, because you remember when he stepped out of the wall at the beginning?
Yeah. I need to watch them again.
Yeah, we're getting into one of my problems here, which was that I kept getting a bit lost.
Me too. And yeah. Actually, I would say maybe we should have watched the two before, but I don't know, because I like to think you could come at this fresh without having to.
Yeah, yeah, you could watch it as a standalone, because it sort of sums up. I guess if you were watching this new one as a standalone, being told about the woman who went crazy would be just like being told about the artist who fell in love.
Yeah,
and
true.
Killed. It would just be like a legend that people...
To be honest, I think it is fine. I think it's the fact that we then trip over ourselves because we're trying to think of what happened in the others. If you just watch this,
so I think this one only is a sequel to the first one.
I think you might be right.
I think they like ignored the second one and the subsequent ones. Because at one point they were talking about doing Candyman versus Leprechaun. I don't know if they ever made it, but there was... Okay.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, so we've just done a very bad job of explaining the mythology. But the key take-home for the listeners is, you got some mythology.
You got some good mythology.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I love, and it usually I find lacking. Really good mythology in this one, some really good backstory. And I think, actually, I was only tripping over myself because I couldn't really remember how that fitted in to the first one, but it didn't really matter because they did explain it fully for this film.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Let's start at the beginning then, because you said until the end you were loving it.
Yeah.
So what did you love about
it? Well, I really liked the fact that there's this, you know, like we say, the mythology, there's this old legend, a sort of not struggling painter, but should we say a painter struggling for a muse and inspiration,
yeah,
kind of comes back across this story, and then that kind of reignites the passion.
Yeah, he digs up the events from the first film.
Yeah.
The first film being about a PhD student who goes to research urban myths.
Yeah.
In the projects.
Yeah.
And discovers the Candyman story. He finds out about her and how she went crazy and killed everyone. And that really just gets his creative juices flowing. Mm. And for the first time in a couple of years, he's painting.
Yeah. And, you know, he's sort of quite an interesting character. Again, an artist like the original Candyman. So nice little kind of link back there. And then obviously starts producing these really good paintings and kind of getting people interested again. And I kind of liked that they were sort of, they linked him in to the sort of mythology as well. And then they didn't kind of mess about, you know, it is what it is. You say it and he kills you, and he did. And I didn't, five times. Yeah. And they kind of didn't like, oh, spend too long over that. It was like, yeah, they killed him and then people were dying. And obviously it was almost looking like it was going to be blamed on Anthony.
Yes,
the main
I thought
guy.
They were going to retread the first film.
Yeah.
And have the artist, because his mental state's deteriorating.
Yeah.
And he actually visited one of the victims immediately before she got Candymanned in my favourite visual scene of the film.
Yeah, that was
where the
fantastic.
Camera's panning out and looking at these luxury flats from miles away. And then you just see this invisible force pick her up, like mash her against the window and drag her around the flat in eerie silence. Yeah. It was beautifully done. And then he went straight from there to the restaurant.
Yeah.
And there's all his art friends like, oh my God, she's been killed. You know, they're just getting the news reports. So, yeah, I thought they were going to do similar to the first film. Have a whole, you know, he gets picked up by the police and they think he killed her. But
yeah,
they didn't really make that a big plot in the film, did they, till right at the end?
No, and I think it was still, for me, it was still interesting. He's deteriorating. He's becoming more like the Candyman.
Yeah, he gets stung by a bee. And
yeah.
That turns into, like, body horror with half his whole, you know, like his hand goes scabby and then half his whole body.
Because all the way up to his neck.
Yeah.
And then I think even up to the point where he sort of goes to visit his mother and she talks to him about how he did grow up in Cabrini Green. And he was the baby
from the first film.
I thought, lovely, they've tied all this together beautifully. Like, really quite, you know, I was quite impressed. Nice pace, bit of murder, good story, good tie-in with the original mythology. And it killed it for me when you went back to the laundrette to talk to the guy who knew about the 70s incident.
Yeah, so we haven't mentioned that yet, have we? Mm. So there's a guy who runs the laundrette.
Yeah.
Who saw, before he got killed, immediately before he got killed by the police, the Candyman who was going around giving out sweets.
And afterwards.
And afterwards, that's revealed later. He actually Candyman kills his sister, because she says,
she says the name 5 times in the mirror.
And he's sort of like, it's an important role in a horror film in mythology.
Yeah.
The guy who explains the backstory. Yeah.
The guy who knows shit and kind of is the storyteller.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a good character. So I just thought it didn't work for me when it ends up that the laundrette guy is actually a bit mad himself.
Yeah.
Kidnaps Anthony's girlfriend and Anthony, and then for no reason that I could work out, decides that he needs to kill him. And, well, I say kill him. He basically, what he wants to happen is he wants to make him into the Candyman. So he cuts off his arm and sticks a hook in the stump and makes him look like the Candyman. And then what he wants to happen is for the police to kill him, like they have done with the other Candyman. But
yeah, it's like he's trying to resurrect Candyman.
Yeah, yeah.
Through Anthony, the artist guy.
And, you know, he wants to do this because he was the baby. Fine. But I just didn't get his motivation.
No. He was just, at the end, he was revealed to be crazy.
A bit batshit. And for me, that was just when it was like, oh, well, you didn't think this end through very well. It wasn't that I had a problem with him being the one who kind of, you know, took Anthony down, but there was no reason why. I just didn't think, why go after the baby that was saved? Why?
Yeah, how did he work out that Anthony...
How did he know he was the baby?
Was the baby who survived, yeah.
But also, why go after him?
Yeah.
I mean, the Candyman had been laid to rest at that point. Until, you know, he got him interested in it again. So I didn't really get the point of that.
Yeah, no, it didn't make a huge amount of sense to me.
Also,
Tony Todd only appeared right at the end.
Yeah.
As a CGI Tony Todd.
I suddenly went to you, didn't I? There's Tony Todd.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, popped up for like a second.
Because my memory of the original was so faint, I didn't know exactly what Tony Todd looked like. So I was trying to work out if the guy who played...
There's too many Candymen. Well, that was the other thing, because you were like, oh, and I was like, no, that's not Tony Todd. And then we were like, okay, and then waiting for him. And then it was like, what, a couple of seconds at the end?
What's he say? He floats. I like it when Candyman floats.
I like the float, yeah.
He hardly does it in the film.
Yeah, I like it.
And then the bees sort of clear from his face, and he's a CGI Tony Todd, and he says, hello, everybody. And that's the end of the film. Yeah. Was it hello, everybody?
It was something like that, wasn't it? I don't know. I'd have to do
too many Candymen. Well, actually, there's three Candymen. There's the original one back in the 1800s. There's the one in this film who was giving out sweets and who appears in mirrors to kill people throughout the most of the film. And then at the end, Anthony the artist becomes like a new Candyman.
Yeah.
Too many Candymen. They should have called it Candymen.
Candymen. Yeah.
And then it would have been Candyman. Candymen. Candyman 3 would have been next. Then Candyman Resurrection.
Yeah.
Candyman versus Predator. Or Leprechaun.
Return of the Candyman. Yeah, it's... The other bit as well I thought was lazy, considering that this film is very much about racial prejudice and, you know, kind of terrible crimes against black people by figures of authority as well as just general white people in history. The bit with the police at the end I thought was horribly lazy. It was like...
Especially when you compare it to Get Out.
Yeah. It was like, oh, the police come, he's on the floor, they shot him. It was like, you could have made that a bit more interesting. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the police wouldn't shoot an innocent black man even in this day and age. That is far from what I'm saying. But I'm saying he was lying on the floor, bleeding to death, and this police officer apparently ran in and just shot him. And it was a bit like...
And then basically threatened
the woman.
Basically saying, well, there's two stories here. One is blah, 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 so the police officer had no choice but to shoot. And then he basically threatens to frame her as an accomplice if she doesn't say that.
And I just thought it was a bit lazy. I thought you could have shown the racist police in a much more, maybe more slightly subtle way, which I think would, but still... powerful way, which I think would have been, you know, possibly even have a sort of stronger feel to it.
Or even, I figure you can make the racism egregious,
yeah,
but make that build more from what we've seen so far.
Yes.
Because it felt like a complete shift in tone.
Totally. The other thing was I thought that they'd shot her, because I thought she'd put her hands up and they'd shot her. Because the guy was bleeding to death on the ground. Like, it would have been more realistic if she'd stood up in panic and they'd shot her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd gone, oh, we shouldn't have shot her, but we did. Let's pretend she was coming at you. Do you know what I mean?
And then she can be Candy Woman.
And then she, Candy Gal. But, you know.
What? Could we have Candy Man and Candy Dog? You know, we're coming up to that time of year.
I mean, you could, yeah. Let's go for it.
When he's floating away. We're walking on the air.
So, yeah, it had a lot of more than I would say promise. But then it just got lazy at the end, in my opinion.
So I didn't like the start and middle as much as you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't dislike it, but I wasn't in love with it.
Oh, fair enough.
I mean, I agree with all your complaints about the end. What else do I think about the end? I think the film in general was trying to do too much stuff. So the ending, I guess they wanted to do something a bit different, but that just sort of lurched in a whole new direction with a laundry guy turning out to be crazy and basically try to resurrect Candyman. There was the body horror. And the weird thing was, even when his hand was really skanky, no one really commented on it. And I thought the twist was going to be that was all in his head.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say something like, oh, God, what is wrong with my hand? And somebody would say, what do you mean your hand looks fine? Yeah, I mean, that would have been cheesy. Yeah. But otherwise, why weren't people saying, dude, look at your hand.
Dude, like, we need to get you to a hospital.
Yeah,
also,
yeah.
Also, he said he went to hospital and they sorted him out.
Yeah, but they did not sort him out, yeah.
They didn't at all.
Yeah, they didn't even...
Didn't do anything to him, did they?
No, I guess not. Maybe he candy-manned the nurse and just legged it. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Do you know, I actually think what would have been better... was also to leave it a bit, is this all in his head? And has he gone a bit mad and killed these people?
Yeah.
And is everything, the legends out there and everything, but is it, not even saying yes, it is in his head, but leaving a bit of like, it could be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sort of, we don't know either way. I think possibly would have been cleverer than what they did with it.
Yeah. Something else I wasn't keen on, and I'm actually surprised that I wasn't keen on this, because it was really quite clever. So it's set in the world, the art world, and especially the first appearance of Candyman killing people takes place in the art gallery, where there's lots of screens, there's the mirror, there's lots of weird lighting, and it creates this real uncertainty over, like visually, because it's quite complex, like what's a reflection and what isn't.
Mm.
And they did a lot of stuff where they try to do different things with the fact that he's in the reflection but not in real life. Like the massacre in the girls' toilets at the high school.
Mm.
Like a makeup compact falls onto the floor and like bees are on both sides of it and a bee flies off into the reflection.
Yeah.
And actually, I think the mirror is such a striking motif. I wish they'd kept it a bit more simple. I think there's something quite powerful about somebody looking in a mirror and saying his name and then Candyman's behind them.
Hmm.
Where it was almost like in a lot of scenes, the composition was so complex, it wasn't like that. You didn't feel like you had that same clear delineation between reflection and reality.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised at that, yeah, because even describing it out loud, it sounds quite cool and it was quite clever. Mm. But to me, it just lessened the fundamental scariness
of that's somebody's
in the mirror and not in real life. I'm just like cleaner, you know, more classic shots of here am I, here's a mirror in front of me. There's no one behind me in real life, but there he is in the mirror.
Yeah. You think it didn't need to be so fancy.
Yeah, yeah, because they really, you know, they had stuff like an invisible force would be doing them and you'd see like a weird, barely visible reflection in a milky glass, like an opaque glass door or something, which was quite clever, but I feel like it was maybe a bit wasted on me. Oh, also, I found the characters quite annoying.
Like, some of them were,
even the heroes, like that whole art world, they were just so pretentious.
Yeah, I didn't feel... The only one I really sort of felt kind of empathy for and quite liked was Tony, the artist.
But even he could turn on the pretension, like when he's describing his work to that critic in the gallery. And I can't even remember what he said. He went, oh, well, really, it's like blah, 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 nonsense. Mm. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, real PhD sociologist.
They weren't lovable characters, were they?
No.
Any of them, really. Apart, I mean, he was, I would say, I would argue him to a degree, but yeah, the rest of them, just not particularly likable. And I mean, you weren't that sad for a lot of them when they got killed. You're just
not at all.
You know,
do you know what I'd have liked to say to him? When he did that little speech explaining what his artwork was about, I would have liked to say, just tell me that again in simple terms, like you'd explain it to a child. Because I bet that would have been a much better explanation rather than describing it in the most sort of...
Yeah, but I think the point...
Impressive sounding way possible.
I think the point was he was trying to impress that woman because she'd been really down on his work and obviously she was a fancy pants art critic. So I think he was trying to impress her with his fancy words.
Yeah, yeah. But the one bit I loved from the art world and the pretentious art people was where the art dealer's ranting after they've had an argument and his girlfriend says to him, "Love will tear us apart," and he says, "You like Joy Division, we get it."
Because yeah, she has the T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. And we were laughing even before he said that, just that she said "Love will tear us apart."
Yeah.
So when he chipped in with that, I bellowed with laughter.
Yeah, that was funny. But visually, really nicely done, I thought. You know, it's kind of dark. The killing scenes are very good. Not like mind-blowing, but a nice film.
Only that long shot of the lit windows in the luxury flats and the silence where the woman gets picked up by an invisible, basically like squeegeed round the window. That's the only one that really stuck in my mind.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't think mind-blowing, but I also think it was right. You know, it was all quite dark and shadowy and kind of, the kills are always sort of very quick, people being thrown through the air and you're not really ever seeing anything too much. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm maybe being a bit kind, but it was
stylishly put together.
It was nice. Yeah. No complaints.
I loved the music.
Yeah.
The score was good.
Yeah. But again, not mind blowing, just went nicely with the visuals and the story.
Yeah.
I would say. I mean, they could have done with a bit more Destiny's Child, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't have it all.
Wasn't in there at all,
Wasn't in there at all, no.
I felt it was a bit disappointing, but I've seen much worse films.
Same. I didn't think it was bad.
No, it wasn't.
I just
bad at all.
Didn't think it was as good as it was gonna be.
We were so psyched for this film.
Yeah, but that always worries me. So in a way, we should have known. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. You enjoyed it. It wasn't a bad film. Just wasn't mind blowing.
I think I knew I wasn't really gonna relate to the characters. When we first meet them, sat in their trendy flat talking about different types of wine.
Yeah.
I'm a simple pleasures kind of guy. You know, I like a pizza.
Mm.
I like a reclining chair.
Yeah.
I like me movies on me projector. I think the fact that it was set in that whole sort of art world of trendy people drinking wine.
You found it hard to relate to anyway.
Yeah, it just made it hard for me to fall in love with the characters. Actually, that's weird, though, because I see so many films. Like, oh, I loved June. Yeah. How much do I have in common with Paul Atreides? Nothing.
Probably not a lot.
I don't know why that left me feeling a bit cold in this case.
I mean, I'm dead classy and love my wine, so, you know, I was right there. No shitloads about art, honestly. I know what you mean, though. They weren't, because the thing is, you can relate to characters in weird and wonderful worlds if there's something about them. You know, it doesn't really matter. They could be like, you know, Jar Jar Binks if there's something that you like about that personality. But they were just very cold and sort of only interested in art.
Stuff that seemed quite vapid.
Yeah.
Is vapid a word?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. What does it mean?
It's like... which is meaningless and like materialistic, isn't that vapid?
Yeah, which is a weird thing to say about artists, but it seemed
like that with them, didn't it?
Yeah,
they weren't very nice either. It was horrible to each other.
Yeah.
And even his girlfriend, just because he broke a mirror, she was going to leave him, and it's like, oh.
Also, he did believe in Candyman.
Yeah, that was that.
Or maybe she was just like, 7 years bad luck. I'm
out of there.
I don't want to be around for 7 years bad luck.
Notar. Well, shall we have a look on our old friend?
Tomatometer,
where are they?
The Tony Todd cameo was very disappointing.
Oh, I think.
It wasn't even good CGI.
I imagine a lot of fans were hoping for more than that.
Yeah, although I do think the guy who played the Candyman for the majority of the film was good. He had an eerie look about him.
He was good, but not the best. I'm right again. Tomatometer. Of course. Although, weirdly...
Yeah, well, that's what it's called. It's called the tomato.
Okay.
It's the tomatometer.
Yes, of course it is.
Tomatometer is just our way of pronouncing it.
Do you know what? It's brought up Rotten Tomatoes. What the hell? Candyman? Oh, brain of a goldfish, Han. Brain of a goldfish. Honestly.
Right, are we guessing?
Yeah, I'm not. Well, I'm not looking. Hang on, I'm just typing it in. I've got quite good at not looking. Okay. Is it loading?
You're looking.
I'm not, because it's not. Okay, now it's gone.
Did you know it loaded because the score came up on
screen?
No,
because the picture went white, so it's okay. So presumably there's something on there.
Right.
Okay, what do you reckon?
62. 62%.
Okay.
Actually, no, 58%.
Oh.
Yeah. If it's 62, I'll be kicking it.
67 for me. Okay. Oh. 84%.
Wrong. What's the audience score?
Audience score is 72%.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we're just a pair of grumps.
We are a pair of grumps. I mean, we both did say we didn't hate it.
I guess it's not the film's fault.
We liked it enough. It was just not the best.
I guess it's not the film's fault that we've not watched a movie for ages, so we were really excited.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Let's have a look at what the critics say. Okay, do you want a splodge or a tomato?
Do you know what? Normally start with splodge. Let's start with a red tomato, because I want to hear what people liked about it.
Okay, Matt Brunson from Film Frenzy says, "It's ironic that for a movie marinating in major issues, the most imagination is exhibited in the killing scenes."
Is that a red tomato?
I mean, that's not the full review, but...
So, like, obviously he's giving
he's giving it
3 stars or something.
He gave it 2.5 out of 4.
2.5 out of 4? What a weird scoring system.
No. Okay, let's go to Grant Watson from Fiction Machine.
Ooh.
"A tremendous and impressive piece of work that manages to revive an old horror classic while also charting its own distinctive path through the material. I half agree, but then don't fuck it at the end. Do you know what I mean? I have better ideas for an ending."
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's, I get where he's going with that. Okay, do you want the splodge or more tomatoes?
Let's have one more tomato.
One more tomato, okay.
And then we'll get to grips with the splodges.
Okay. Luke Parker from the Star Democrat says... "The result is a mixed bag. Without the background, without Helen's investigation and her introduction to this world, this Candyman movie falls more in line with meat and slash, with the meat and slash routine of other horror reboots." I think it's definitely helped by the background. If you think, if you didn't have that...
Well, you wouldn't know what was happening.
You wouldn't have much of a film, would you?
No.
Okay, so a splodge. Sean Chandler from Sean Chandler Talks About. "There's a lot to respect about the aesthetics of the film and how it expands the mythology of the original, but I found the film's handling of the social commentary to be too heavy-handed." Yeah, I can see that.
It's quite a mute. It's not exactly a hatchet job, is it?
No.
Let's get a hatchet job.
Well, I was just thinking, Eileen Jones from The Jacobin sounds like she was very much on the same page as us. "After looking forward to it for so long, it's hard not to feel let down about the film's lack of imagination."
Mm-hmm.
Agree with you there, Eileen. Dennis Harvey from 48 Hills says...
What are these weird names of publications?
"A heavy-handed misfire."
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah, concise.
Dennis is disappointed, you can tell.
What do the fans say?
Yeah, let's
look at some user reviews. They're usually good for a laugh.
Audience. Do you want to start with anything in particular or just the first one that comes up?
Let's have the first one that comes up.
Okay. Anthony B says, such a disappointment. Confusing and confused, which is a lethal combination.
Ooh. Touché.
Armando P says, "I wish one person wrote this film instead of three, to be honest." Okay.
Does he think the Candyman wrote script?
The film, maybe.
Armando P, is that P as in an initial or P as in a vegetable?
An initial.
Okay.
Yeah. A more positive one from Bruno L. "A very good follow-up to the original without having to rely on knowledge of the previous films to get the full effect. This maintained the vibes and thrills of the original." Ezzy A says, "Wasn't scary enough to qualify as a horror movie and wasn't interesting enough to serve as a commentary on race like it attempted to."
So that's an interesting point, because we were hoping for a really scary film.
Well, we will, actually, yeah. It wasn't scary.
I wasn't scared.
No.
Weren't even nervous.
No. Any more?
One more. I love the reviews.
Yeah, me too. Unknown says, "Lame remake. Shame on Jordan Peele for making it about hate." I mean...
I think that's baked in.
I also think, no, not shame on Jordan Peele. Just better ending.
Yeah.
Jordan.
I got to say, also, lame remake, as we've discussed extensively...
Not really a remake. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point as well, actually. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, they either go...
What did he think the original was about?
I don't know. Yeah, I think a lot of them are quite similar, actually. A lot of people were sort of a bit disappointed. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I think, so the thing about Rotten Tomatoes is every individual review counts as a good review and or a bad review.
Yeah.
And I think that 80-odd percent is going to have a lot of three-star reviews behind
it. Yes, it does, yeah.
Like, mildly positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's hard to argue it's a bad film.
Yeah, it's not a bad film. I really don't think it's a bad film at all. It's just not a great film.
No. I tell you what, though, I'd really like to see Candyman versus Leprechaun. That sounds like it'd be brilliant.
Who's Leprechaun?
You know who Leprechaun is.
I mean, like an Irish, like, Leprechaun.
Have you never heard of the Leprechaun franchise? Oh, my God.
No,
Hannah.
It's
one of the classic horror franchises. Rotten Tomatoes and read the titles. Thing. They made loads of them.
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yeah.
Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
Yeah.
Leprechaun's Revenge. Leprechaun Origins. Bloody hell. Leprechaun Returns. I mean, how have I
There's a Leprechaun never... in space.
I've never heard of this thing.
Do you know who is in the first Leprechaun film?
No.
Jennifer Aniston.
What? Oh, yeah. Jennifer Aniston. Yeah, and Warwick Davis.
I love Warwick Davis.
I love that in Leprechaun 2 back... Yeah, I really like Warwick Davis as well. In Leprechaun 2 Back to the Hood, it's some guy called Kirk Sticky Fingers Jones.
Is that a character or an actor?
An actor. Kirk Sticky Fingers Jones. Well, there we go. Also, in Leprechaun Origins, there's someone called Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle is the name.
Just Hornswoggle on its own.
Oh, on its own?
Yeah, like...
Do you not remember there was an episode of Friends where Chandler he's not going to make any jokes, and Ross says he's seeing somebody...
Someone called Hornswoggle, like Deborah Hornswoggle.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think it's another Dylan Hornswoggle. Yeah, it is. Dylan Hornswoggle Postel. Guys, what's going on with all these stupid names?
So is Hornswoggle like his rap name?
I don't know, because that was from Origins, so not The Hood.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was...
Sticky Fingers was from The Hood, but...
Hornswoggle would be a terrible rap name.
I mean, God, I can't believe I've never heard of this thing. And there is tons of it.
You've never heard of the Leprechaun franchise?
Never.
Ooh, so we were going to watch The Night House next, weren't we?
We were. Ice Tea's in one of these.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to watch a Leprechaun instead?
Shall we? Should we watch... Well, what was the other one we were going to watch again? Sorry?
The Night House.
Yes. So we could watch... I mean, seeing as Leprechaun's an older one, and we've just watched a newer one, we could watch a Leprechaun and then watch The Night House.
And do you want to watch the original Leprechaun, or one of the increasingly ludicrous sequels?
What do you think? The original?
I think we have to either go in the Hood or Space.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Which is your favourite of the Leprechaun franchise?
Well, actually, I've seen Leprechaun in Space.
Yeah.
Never seen either of his visits to the Hood.
Oh, well, maybe we could see one of his visits to the Hood.
Leprechaun in the Hood?
There's also one called Leprechaun's Christmas Gold, but I don't think that's part of the...
The franchise.
When you look at the actors.
Yeah, no, I don't think
maybe
that's...
not, unless it was a really early one.
I can't believe you'd never heard of the
Leprechaun. Ever.
It's like one of the famous shit horror franchises.
Oh. Well, we'll get on it then. We'll watch In the Hood. Yeah, I mean, looking forward
to it.
Okay,
brilliant. Yeah, well, join us next time, guys, when we'll be watching Leprechaun In the Hood.
We'll see you then. To be sure, to be sure. I can't believe I've never heard of that. There's also something here called, if you like that, you might like Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings.
You've never heard of Pumpkinhead?
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
You've never heard of Pumpkinhead?
Oh, are you actually serious now?
Hang on. Okay, so you've never heard of Leprechaun or Pumpkinhead. Have you heard of... Oh, what's that one with the flying balls and the tall man?
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Tune in next time for more
Midweek Horror.
Don't get scared now.